Welcome to MCP Radio and Redmond Radio. I'm your host, Michael Domingo, editor of MCPMag.com. It's the middle of May. Actually, it's not the middle of May. It's May 22nd, and here's what we'll cover in this episode. Best Buy and Microsoft partner up on certification. SharePoint server shares spotlight with Bill Gates at the CEO Summit. And the Department of Justice extends Microsoft oversight 2 more years. As well, we have an interview with Excellion CEO Jürgen Edholm. Certification news and a quick product roundup follows this sponsor message from Mimosa Systems here on Redmond Radio.
Are you Exchange challenged across archiving, recovery, and backup? Mimosa Nearpoint solves all of these issues with a next-generation software solution. Visit www.mimosasystems.com or simply call 650-970-9037 to get Nearpoint working for you today.
Welcome back, and thanks for listening to Redmond Radio. 2 news items hit the certification beat, one coming out of Redmond and the other coming out of Redwood Shores. More than 300 Best Buy employees are now certified under the training and certification program that was developed jointly with Microsoft. Consumer electronics retailer Best Buy has been working with Microsoft to develop a training and certification program for Best Buy's foray into small business service and support that so far has yielded more than 300 MCPs. The program was launched in 2005, according to a press release on the Microsoft website. The program helps train and certify employees who work at Best Buy for business stores as technical support or consultants, as well as those who work with the company's The Geek Squad Technical Support and Services Division. The Best Buy for Business program is available at more than 940 of the company's retail stores across North America. The goal of the program is to have them obtain small business technical expertise and achieve, at minimum, an MCP credential. According to the release, 300 have done so, and some have also achieved MCSE. Microsoft and Best Buy are also developing a Best Buy for Business learning portal that, according to the release, will be geared to getting employees familiar with the new generation Microsoft certifications and blended training options. Best Buy's goals are to certify at least 900 of its Best Buy for Business employees by the end of 2006. Out in Redwood Shores, Oracle announced that the exam for its top-level Oracle 10G database certified master credential is now available for registration. The 2-day hands-on exam, which costs $2,000, is being made available via a traveling tour through various cities across the U.S. For example, in June, the exam will be available in Chicago, San Francisco, Irving, Texas, and several other cities. Before taking the exam, candidates must meet several prerequisites, including holding the Oracle Certified Professional title for 10G and attending 2 Oracle University training courses. Oracle added the OCM to its slate of certifications with the 9i track back in 2001. It began releasing its 10G certifications in 2004. And that's it for certification. Let's look at the Business Wire. CA announced Wiley Introscope, the newest version of the performance monitoring tool for business-critical web applications. A version of the tool that supports .NET will be released later this year. Brocade Communications announced version 3.0 of Brocade Tapestry MyView last Monday, a resource access manager that provides improved file access controls for IT and security administrators and tools to streamline reporting of access authorizations for compliance audits. It's designed to integrate nicely with Active Directory. FileNet has added 3 new connectors for extending Windows SharePoint Services and SharePoint Portal Server 2003. FileNet connector for SharePoint Document Libraries allows SharePoint Document Libraries to be integrated with FileNet P8 Enterprise Content Management Repository. FileNet connector for SharePoint Portal Search extends the search capability of SharePoint Portal Server 2003 to include any content that's federated to the FileNet P8 Enterprise Content Management Services. And finally, FileNet connector for SharePoint Web Parts delivers document and task management capabilities that align with JSR 168 portlet capabilities. WinZip's latest version of its self-extracting zip tool, WinZip Self-Extractor 3.0, now features enhanced deflate compression support and improved compression technology. This version also supports 128 and 256-bit AES encryption and the ability to use high-res icons with self-extracting zip files. With that, we wrap up the big news on the wire. Up next on Redmond Radio, an interview with Excellion after this break. Welcome back to MCP Radio and Redmond Radio, and thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show, pass it along to your colleagues and keep them informed too. What makes Exchange administrators cringe? When an end user tries to send large files through email and requests larger quotas. I should know, I've done it many times. Companies like Excellion are here to help Exchange admins bypass email as a storage server with a new appliance they introduced just a few weeks ago, the Excellion Courier Secure File Transfer Appliance. Excellion CEO Jorgen Edholm spoke with me by phone about their new appliance and how it not only keeps Exchange admins sane, but also is able to keep file access secure and reportable. Here's the interview.
I have Jorgen Edholm, CEO of Excellion, here on MCP Radio, here to talk to us about a product you just announced. Since I haven't heard of you guys, give me an idea of the background for Excellion, and then we'll talk about the product.
Excellion is a startup software company that has developed a really interesting technology to transfer files securely. The company started in Singapore by some really bright engineers, and they were going to solve the distributed application file storage so that if you have a worldwide application and you have some people in London, some people in New York, some people in Los Angeles working on it, they would all feel that they were sitting right on top of the data, even though the real data was stored someplace and then everything just got synchronized. And that was going really well until the first, say, the web bubble bust. And after that, when most of the customers that Excellion had disappeared, they looked at the industry and looked at the problems out there and realized that we had a uniquely good way of solving the large file problem with email. It moved to the United States. I joined the company in 2003, and ever since then, we have been solving the large file problem.
Okay. Basically, the company has developed one product specific that goes out to market.
Yes.
Okay, and the name of the product is?
We call it Excellion Courier SFTA, Secure File Transfer Appliance.
Okay.
It's an appliance that you plug in, just like a toaster, and then everything works beautifully.
Basically, how the technology works, it is an appliance.
Yes.
So, for example, someone wants to send me a file right now that's, basically a podcast, which could number around, about 25 megs, and that would kill my quota in Exchange.
If you want to send that thing to me and you have the Excellion product, there are two interfaces. The one you probably prefer is the one that's integrated in Outlook, so you just write an email to me and you click the blue button and it goes out and opens up one of those file dialog boxes and you select the webcast or the podcast. And when you do that, everything feels exactly the way you have been used to. But when you click the send button, rather than including the podcast in the email and making the email very big, so big that the recipient's email will probably say, sorry, nobody can send us that big a file or that big an email, we send the file to the Excellion appliance. And we embed a secure link in the email that is very small. So the email is not bigger than 10 or tops 15K. It comes to me, and when I open up the email, I see something that looks like any web link. And when I click on that one, I download the file. And it's very fast, it's very secure, and nobody can look at the file when it's being moved because we're using SSL and fancy things like that.
Do you have any competition anywhere in the industry right now?
Well, there is always competition, but we don't have any direct competition. The competition out there is most people when it comes to using large files. They always try to use email first. And then when they learn where email's limits are, anything bigger, people say FTP should be the solution because FTP exists everywhere. It's built into the Unix operating system and so on and so on. The problem is that FTP is really hard to manage. If you want to send something to me, you have to have an FTP server. You have to have access to that one, and also I have to have access to it. So if you're not an IT person, you have to go to an IT person who will give me a username and a password to the FTP directory. And that usually takes a couple of hours, and if you and I are good friends, you want my feedback on a presentation you're going to give tomorrow, and I'm jumping on a plane in a couple of hours, you probably want to get me the file right now. So rather than waiting for me to get the password, you will give me your password, and username and password, which means that now the FTP system security has been breached. And those kinds of problems may not seem very much to the average person, but for people who worry about corporate security and Sarbanes-Oxley and stuff like that, that can really kill an audit. So many big companies are now outlawing FTP servers because they are, number one, not very secure. Number two, it's very hard to audit them. If you put that thing on the FTP directory, you don't know if I downloaded it or not, and the system doesn't give you a report. So that's another reason why people are buying our stuff.
So that kind of relieves the recipient of having to do anything on their end to receive large files.
Right.
On the sender's end, they need the appliance. How do you sell this appliance? I mean, as far as pricing, what does it look like?
Yeah,
you know, what's the pricing on it right now?
The pricing, we have four different sizes of appliances. We have one that we call the mini, and then we have three larger ones. We call them small, medium, and large. And the price range is something like $3,500 for 50 users for the smallest one, up to approximately $40,000 for the largest appliance for 5,000 users.
Okay, I'm sorry, what was the first one for the mini?
The mini was $3,500.
Oh, $3,500, okay. All right. And the mini, there's some sort of storage capacity that it has there?
Yes, the mini comes with 60 gigabytes, and the largest one comes with 300 gigabytes, even though you can stretch it further. One of the things that surprises people when they start using these things is that because they are used as transient storage, this is not an appliance that's going to hold these files for a couple of years, because typically if you want to send something to somebody, you want them to open it up soon, because either otherwise why send it to them in the first place? So people have either 14 days or 30 days cleanup time periods, so that if you send something to me, the link that I get is active for the time that you've specified, and it's either, you know, 14 days, 30 days. Some people make it 90 days, but typically not longer than that. So you rehash the storage so that even if you can be moving some terabytes over a month, you don't need a terabyte of data necessarily.
Who sets the limits on that? As far you can do the per email?
Yeah, if you're an expert user, you can say that this attachment is going to be around for so long. Typically, it's something that the system admin says that this is a corporate policy, and we just want things to evaporate, to disappear after a certain time period.
Can you tell me about some of your customers?
The company started out focusing on media and advertising because we knew that these guys had big files, but lots of manufacturing companies have big design files. Consumer goods companies frequently have lots of marketing material. Pharma has research files. Architecture, engineering firms, big files there too. Healthcare, they don't necessarily have big files, but they need lots of security, education, finance, and so on. So we have both large companies and small companies. We believe that we are just at the very top of an iceberg, because these companies are not companies that we cold called and found. These were companies that found us using Google and other search tools, just asking for secure or large file delivery or transfer. And when they hit our website, they left a mark, and we contacted them and they bought from us. So we are now across all kinds of industries, across all kinds of sizes, and our sales this last quarter were twice what they were the last quarter, so the company seems to be taking off very, very rapidly. I should tell you that one of the driving forces for our growth right now, or the reason why people come and look at our website, is that Microsoft is recommending very strongly that when people install Exchange 2003, and there are lots of companies that haven't done that yet, they are starting to do that right now, and when these companies go to 2003, Microsoft says, in order for this email system to work well, you should put on both kind of mailbox quotas, but also attachment limits, and the attachment limit they recommend is 10 megabytes. And there are so many files that are bigger than that today. Maybe 2-3 years ago, the files weren't so big, but now they're just getting bigger. The cameras are getting more and more pixels. PowerPoints are getting bigger, and so on and so on. So we are getting a tremendous amount of response from either customers or Microsoft integration partners who are looking at saying, okay, when I go to 2003, I know that all these people are going to come and complain about, how do I send this file that I used to be able to send an email, but I can't send anymore. And I think that you can think of it as a really good complement to email. Email wasn't designed to work with really large files. They clog up the server. Your mailbox and everything. It was designed to work with lots of small files and not big ones. And just like in the normal world, when the post office got overloaded with dealing with the small mails kind of at a normal speed, and somebody says, I want to be able to work with things, maybe in that case it was more quickly, or maybe it was more traceably in terms of FedEx. We think that our solution, rather than saying that somebody's going to re-architect your emails, so it's going to be able to deal with spam, with virus, with security, and also with very large files, it may make sense to have a complementary solution, and we are that solution.
So what happens if someone wants to send the file back, the recipient actually wants to send the file back to you?
Yeah, you mean that somebody got a PowerPoint and, made some edits and wanted to send it back?
Correct.
Well, that's actually, from a system point of view, fairly difficult for most solutions, but we like the FedEx analogy, like the post office FedEx, email, Excelion, and when we send a big file, we kind of include a return FedEx envelope with it, so that when people download a file using the Excelion solution, you can use the Excelion solution, even though you don't have one, to send it back. The only limitation we have on our system is that you can't use the other company's Excelion box to send one of these large files to somebody outside of the company. So you kind of have to keep it in the family.
Okay.
A very popular feature.
It's sort of some sort of security that's built into the system.
Yeah.
To keep you from using somebody else's box.
Yeah, and I should tell you that there are lots of people are saying, we are expanding the network. We are coming up with, all kinds of accelerators and bandwidth increasers, so that we will be able to sell larger and larger files using email if Microsoft would ever, say, open up the 10 megabyte limit. But the problem with that answer is that most of the problems we are seeing are not inside a company, they are between companies, and even if you have a great email system, a great network that can handle larger volumes, the problem is when you try to send something to somebody on the outside, they typically have slower networks and they have limits on their email service. So even if you have, 100 megabyte limits, you won't be able to communicate inside, from the company and then back using anything except a solution like Excelion.
How can listeners find out more about the Excelion product?
Well, we have a great website. It's www.excelion.com.
And that's spelled Accellion?
Yes, it is.
Okay. All right. Great. Thanks, Jorgen.
Pleasure.
All right.
Microsoft News from ENT Magazine later in this program. After this break, we'll head on into this week's IT Web Gems here on Redmond Radio. Welcome back to Redmond Radio, and it's time for IT Web Gems. First, a look at what's on the IP Newswire. Advanced Micro Devices, Intel's biggest rival in PC microprocessors, last week unveiled new chips it says will lead to more efficient PCs that are smaller and more stylish. AMD claims its latest desktop chips consume less power than its current offerings or those from Intel. They're aimed at PC makers who want to build smaller, more aesthetically pleasing machines, said Leslie Sobon, director of product management in AMD's desktop division. The chips will go on sale later this month. In related news, computer maker Dell says it was merely bowing to customer demand when it decided to offer microprocessors from AMD in some of its high-end servers. But the announcement, disclosed as Dell reported an 18% drop in its first quarter profit last Thursday, represents a significant change from the company's long-standing use of chips only from Intel. After months of rumors and some analysts suggesting that the company's Intel-only policy was hurting business, Dell said it will use AMD's Opteron dual-core processors in Dell's multiprocessor servers by year's end, for the first time. The decision boosted shares of AMD and Dell, while Intel fell. Dell shares rose 16 cents to $24.11 in midday trading on Friday in the NASDAQ stock market, while AMD stock jumped $2.77, or nearly 9%, to $34.12 on the New York Stock Exchange. Intel shed 48 cents, or 2.6%, to $18.17 on the NASDAQ. On the heels of Dell's earnings news last week, Hewlett-Packard announced that its fiscal second quarter profit rose 51% last Tuesday as the company benefited from cost-cutting, stronger PC demand, and a 5% jump in revenue. For the 3 months ended April 30th, HP earned $1.46 billion, or 51 cents a share, compared with $966 million, or 33 cents per share, in the same quarter last year. Sales rose to $22.6 billion from $21.6 billion in the second quarter of last year. Excluding $97 million in amortization and other one-time expenses, HP earned $1.6 billion, or 54 cents per share. The anti-PC company, Apple, last week introduced additional laptops with Intel chips, inching closer to the completion of its historic shift to microprocessors used by its PC rivals. The new consumer lineup of MacBook notebook computers replaces Apple's previous iBook and 12-inch PowerBook, which used PowerPC chips from IBM and Freescale Semiconductor. The 13-inch widescreen MacBooks feature Intel Core Duo chips that Apple says boost the laptop's performance by 4 to 5 times compared to their predecessors. They come in black or white and range in price from $1,099 to $1,499. Editors at the Redmond Media Group are already chomping at the bit to get one after editor Becky Nagel showed off hers at the Irvine offices on Wednesday. It seems that tape isn't quite yet dead, as researchers at IBM have been at work on ways to make tape store more. They say they've developed a new method for cramming data onto magnetic tape that will increase storage capacity at least 15 times, enough to squeeze the text from 8 million books onto a cartridge half the size of a VHS tape. As proof that tape still has life, IBM's tape storage revenue rose 9% last year, outpacing the company as a whole. The U.S. Department says that 16,000 computers it bought from a Chinese firm with links to the Beijing government will not be used for classified work. Assistant Secretary of State Richard Griffin said the department would also alter its procurement process to ensure U.S. information security was guaranteed. His comments came after Representative Frank Wolf expressed national security concerns. The company Lenovo insisted such concerns are warranted and said that the computers pose no security risk. Last year, Lenovo, the world's number 3 PC maker, bought the IBM PC division and moved its executive headquarters from China to the U.S. A Chinese government agency owns 28% of Lenovo, while IBM still has about a 13% stake in the company. A zero-day flaw in Microsoft Word is being used in an active exploit by sophisticated hackers in China and Taiwan, according to warnings from antivirus researchers. Symantec's DeepSight threat analysis team has escalated its ThreatCon level after confirming the unpatched vulnerability is being used against select targets. The exploit arrives as a Word document attachment. When launched by opening the attachment, a rootkit is dropped undetected on the user's machine. The SANS Internet Storm Center said in a diary entry that it received reports of the exploit from an unnamed organization that was targeted. Microsoft has been notified and is working with security researchers to investigate the bug. Symantec recommends that organizations block email attachments carrying Word documents for the time being. That's the last item from the AP TechWire. I did manage to find the following IT web gems, as I like to call them, since they're things that are shiny and pretty but don't really hold much value. Here's the first one. A new survey, and you know I like surveys, shows that 61% of all Americans with internet access at work do some personal surfing on company time, and they do this about 3 hours a week. Maps, news, and weather are main sites visited by these people. 25% also watch or listen to streaming media at least once a week, and 18% have downloaded non-work music, photos, and video clips. The survey was conducted by phone by WebSense and surveyed 500 employees. There are some folks who use the internet more than others, and for those it could be an addiction. So says Dr. Diane Wieland, who treats patients who exhibit computer addiction, which she has written about in the journal Perspectives in Psychiatric Care. She believes that 5-10% of internet users will come down with common symptoms of addiction, such as a general disregard for one's health and appearance, sleep deprivation, and decreased physical activity and social interaction. I hate to say it, but she's describing programmers. What sets these addicts apart from programmers is that some might also exhibit cyber shakes, when not online, an outward agitation expressed in their fingers that seem to be typing without a keyboard present. A lawsuit for bad deals in cyberspace was bound to happen. Mark Bragg, a Pennsylvania lawyer, is suing the publishers of Second Life, alleging the company unfairly confiscated tens of thousands of dollars worth of his virtual land and other property. Bragg alleges that Linden Labs shut down his Second Life account, cutting off his access to a substantial portfolio of real estate and currency in the virtual world. He's demanding $8,000 in restitution. Bragg claims Linden Labs froze his account after a land deal went bad. The attorney said he found a legitimate way to purchase land at prices far below market rates using an online auction site on the Second Life website. The case is seeing lots of interest not only with other cyber community gaming sites, but with the legal community, who may find virtual cash running after virtual ambulances. In an attempt to battle spam, AOL has started charging for guaranteed delivery of certain types of bulk email. The fee, which is a small fraction of a cent per email, took effect 2 weeks ago. AOL says it will help stop spam or junk messages from clogging their customers' inboxes. But the move is getting some backlash from the Electronic Frontier Foundation and smaller organizations such as the Gun Owners of America, who rely on mass emailing to legitimate members through free email services such as AOL's. Those and many other organizations have created a coalition at DearAOL.com to have AOL backtrack on its program. AOL denies that it will have the undesired impact on these groups, as they claim, of essentially taxing nonprofits and charity organizations. And finally, in our last item, back to the real world. LA's top police chief is joining the ranks of the bloggers. Police Chief William J. Bratton's blog, which appears at lapdblog.org, is just a week old and already has seen 24,000 site visitors, who are seeing basically announcements for department events and recycled press releases. While the LAPD hopes the blog becomes the conduit to the cyber community, skeptics believe the first challenge to openness on its blogs will have to be proved with the next big riot, police beating, or police shooting caught on video. Well, I can't say that was pretty, but that's this week's IT Web Gems. If you find anything unusual on the internet during your personal web surfing time, send it to me at michaeld@mcpmag.com. That's michaeld@mcpmag.com. And if I cite your tip on the air, you get a Redmond Magazine t-shirt. Microsoft News after this break, here on Redmond Radio.
Are you Exchange challenged across archiving, recovery, and backup? Mimosa Nearpoint solves all of these issues with a next-generation software solution. Visit www.mimosasystems.com or simply call 650-970-9037 to get Nearpoint working for you today.
Welcome back again, and thanks for listening to MCP Radio and Redmond Radio. We do hope you pass this show along to your colleagues who may appreciate something work-related to listen to while they're working. Let's check out what made headlines over at entmag.com. Microsoft has released the first community technology preview of its Express Web Designer tool, targeted for designers producing professional websites. Expression Web Designer is one of the three new design tools, all with the Expression brand, but aimed at distinctly different roles in the web publishing process. The other two are Expression Interactive Designer and Expression Graphic Designer. Among the features in Expression Web Designer, it'll provide real-time standards validation, including XHTML, and an accessibility checker to make sure that sites conform to standards for screen readers. In addition, is extensive support for cascading style sheets and ASP.NET 2.0. Microsoft officials have not yet said when the three Expression products will be released. Microsoft plans to offer Windows Live Search as a free download later this summer in test form. Windows Live Search is the direct competitor to Google Desktop, which is supposed to help users simultaneously find information on their computer desktop, the internet, and corporate network. The name of the software download, confusingly enough, is named after Microsoft's internet-only search tool, Windows Live Search. Windows Live Search, the product, will be an add-on to Microsoft's current product for scouring the PC desktop. This version is slated to be concluded in Windows Vista. The ability to search corporate networks will be available only to those who use Microsoft's SharePoint server software, which is designed to help companies find and share information. In related news, in a post-keynote press conference with Microsoft executives and Infosys CEO Nandan Nilekani, Microsoft pushed its vision for the next version of SharePoint server, scheduled to ship to business customers in October. SharePoint Server 2007 will focus on solving what Microsoft calls the last-mile problem of business productivity by providing flexible search of both structured and unstructured data. The effort is aimed at unlocking the vast stores of knowledge untapped by most enterprises, said Kevin Johnson, co-president of the Platforms and Services Division at Microsoft. Said Johnson, studies have shown that as much as 80% of data and information is stored on the individual's PC within their business, and the fact that oftentimes 50 to 75% of information is actually held by one of the subject matter experts within the company. Besides search, which we talked about in the previous item, Microsoft is also extending the concept of social networks to the enterprise, using the Windows Live Search client to help people seek out coworkers by areas of expertise, role in their organization, and other open-ended criteria. SharePoint Server will automate the process of crawling data related to employees, including email boxes, contact lists, and instant messenger contact lists. The process enables the software to assign properties to each profile, as well as to associate employees with others across the network. Employees can edit their profiles and select the information they want to present. Microsoft is buying out secure access vendor Whale Communications in a move aimed at broadening its security offerings to enterprise customers. The Fort Lee, New Jersey-based company specializes in providing SSL virtual private networking security and access, especially for unmanaged devices like remote laptops. Whale's Intelligent Application Gateway supports application intelligent policies to govern network integrity assurance through integrated native endpoint security and access control features, and application security through application firewalling capabilities to insulate backend resources. The application intelligent part is key. Whale has an independent internal unit that focuses on developing so-called application-specific optimizers for business-critical applications, software modules designed and pre-configured for specific applications, according to Whale statements. A federal judge has agreed to extend by 2 years the U.S. government's oversight of some of Microsoft's business practices until at least November 2009. U.S. District Judge Colleen Coller-Cotelli also pressed the Justice Department to defend its conclusion that Microsoft did not violate antitrust laws over the design of its upcoming Internet Explorer web browser software. Google has said the browser improperly steers people to Microsoft's search engine instead of Google's more popular technology, but the Justice Department disclosed in its legal papers last week that it will take no action. And one final piece of news that hit the wire late Friday. Security software maker Symantec Corporation accused Microsoft in a federal lawsuit Thursday of misappropriating its intellectual property and breach of contract. The lawsuit seeks an injunction to stop Microsoft from selling Windows Vista until the technology from Symantec is removed. The dispute is over a technology that allows operating systems to handle large amounts of data. Symantec acquired the disputed technology when it absorbed Veritas, and while Symantec said it would honor any agreements between Veritas and Microsoft, Symantec claims terms are at issue. Microsoft calls the lawsuit unfounded. That's Redmond Radio for the week of May 22nd. Whether or not you like this show, send me feedback at michaeld@mcpmag.com or call 949-265-1564 and leave a voicemail message. Once again, the email is michaeld@mcpmag.com. With that, thanks for listening. I'm Michael Domingo. Hope you find time to listen next week to MCP Radio and Redmond Radio.